Good evening. It's good to be back out again this afternoon to open our Bibles and study more from God's Word together. Got quite a few slides tonight. I kind of overdid it, I think. But I'll try and kind of rush through them. We were kind of joking this morning, Ralph and I, that we're going to have to find a way to squeeze two 40-minute sermons into one service tonight. But I'm going to do my part to try and make my points, but go through it rather briskly, and hopefully it'll be beneficial to you as it was for me when I was studying it. Tonight I want to talk about families, specifically how a church can be like a family. We know from our individual families that we've all got our differences, our different personality quirks, our different traits, our different talents that we might have, and so forth. And the church is kind of like that as well. Each member, each family member of a church has their own personality and their own special identity that they have. And tonight, I'm going to make an illustration on that. The Lord used many illustrations during His teaching, during His earthly ministry. And some of them I've pictured above here for you to see. And I'm not going to go into those details. I'm sure you're all familiar with those. The family I'm going to talk about this afternoon are probably well known to all of you. And I'm sure that you're going to recognize many of them as we go through them individually. And the family I'm going to talk about tonight is the Taters family. Now, I kind of was worried a little bit about, you know, being too cute with some of these diagrams, these illustrations. But hopefully it'll have an effect on you to where it can help you remember some of these points that I'm trying to make as I go through these. And maybe you can relate to some of these a little bit better. The first member I'd like to discuss is agitators. We know how some people are always causing problems and they're really stirring up trouble. And unfortunately, that happens in the church sometimes as well. And we call these people agitators. Agitators include those who cause strife by means of lies, talebearing, and evil surmising. They always have an ear attentive to gossip. Agitators often cause problems in the church because oftentimes they're motivated by that green monster we call envy. Agitators tend to get hot and all up in the air when things don't go their way. And in Proverbs chapter 6, we can read about several things that the Lord hates. I'm going to begin in verse 16 and go through verse 19. Verse 16 starting. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift and running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. And that last part of verse 19, I believe, describes an agitator. The next member I'd like to discuss, dictators. Dictators, as we all know, always have to be the boss. And they like to tell everyone what it is they want to do and when to do it. They want to be the decision makers in every circumstance. Dictators also like to receive a great deal of attention from others. They want to be known as the person in charge. And of course, dictators want people to jump when they say jump. In 3 John verses 9 and 10, we can read of a dictator that was in the Lord's church. And I'm sure we're all familiar with this, starting in verse 9. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Diotrephes was trying to be a dictator. And of course, we know that the organization of the church, as set forth in the scriptures for us to follow, has an eldership that is to lead the flock, and deacons as well that help to work with the church and get many things done. But Diotrephes tried to go above and beyond that. He tried to be a dictator, and that is just not found in the scriptures. The next member, hesitators. There are those who are always saying they will do this and that, go this place and that place, but for whatever reason, they just never get around to it. And we call those people hesitators. And as you can see, hesitators often turn their backs to their responsibilities. Hesitators tend to put forth little effort to get out and do the work that needs to be done. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 31, we can read an instance where Jesus is speaking about following through with your obligations. Starting in verse 28, Jesus says, "A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go, work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward, he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said to him, "The first." And Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you." So as we see in this instance, Jesus makes a point that people that follow through with their obligations and do what they should are the ones that are going to be rewarded. And those who just say that they will do something but never quite get around to it, they won't be rewarded in the end. Also in the church, we sometimes find those who are spectators. Some people never seem motivated to participate in anything. They're just content to sit back and watch others. And that's why we call those people spectators. Spectators just don't want to get involved. They don't want to do any jobs. They just want to sit back and watch everyone else do the work. In James chapter 1, verses 22 through 24, we read a passage that tells us that we shouldn't just be spectators. We should be active in the work of the church. Starting in verse 22, James writes, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." Also, another family member we might see are imitators. Some people just put on a front to try and act like someone else, and those people are called imitators. Oftentimes, they're more concerned about what they're going to wear to church instead of what is happening at church. It's very important to them to be dressed in the latest styles so that they'll look good for everyone else and be noticed that, hey, those people look cool. Well, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 14, Jesus had something to say about that. Jesus says, "Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch." Well, obviously, imitating isn't always a bad thing. It all depends on who you're imitating. And we can read Paul as he writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Paul says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. So I guess it boils down to being an imitator. Everyone is going to imitate someone. As we're growing up, we're going to see examples of people. And we're probably going to imitate some people. Let's just make sure to imitate the right kind of individual. Next, I'd like to talk about sweet taters. And every church has a lot of sweet taters. Sweet taters often bring real sunshine into the lives of others. They always have something nice to say about others, and they never insist on having their way and would never get upset or have hurt feelings if they didn't get their way. And reading in Galatians chapter 5, where it talks about fruits of the Spirit, we know that these characteristics go right along with what we call sweet taters. Galatians 5, starting in verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." Sweet taters are always prepared to stop what they're doing and lend a hand to others. And there are some other members of the Taters family whom I'll go over briefly, and you've probably met them before as well. And the reason why I put briefly in there, I kind of ran out of time to get more pictures, but we'll go over these briefly as well. Irritators. Irritators possess the keen ability to provoke others to anger. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, we can read of irritators. Here the warning is, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Well, I think that can apply to all of us, really. None of us should be irritators. We should not provoke people in the manner of provoking. However, as Alan pointed out, and I promise I had the scripture in here before he mentioned it this morning, but in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, we're encouraged to stir up love and good works. It says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." So we're not to provoke, be irritating to people, but we are to stir them up. Also, there are commentators. Their comments are oftentimes not in harmony with God's will. And we've already read this passage, but in 3 John verse 10, speaking of Diotrephes again, it says, "Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words." And one more example of that, in Acts chapter 26, verse 24, we can read about Festus. He had some things to say, some comments that also were unnecessary and untrue. There it says, "Festus said with a loud voice, 'Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad.'" So we need to be careful about the comments that we make. Yet another family member we can talk about are rotators. They constantly drift from one congregation to another without ever really settling down. And just a couple of examples that I've put down here. At the beginning of the letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons." So there, obviously, there's a congregation, a local congregation of God's people that have bishops and deacons in Philippi. So the people in that area were to join and be a part of that church, worship together. And also we can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the first two verses, where it says, "Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth." And there are, you know, so many letters that we read about in so many cities of churches in that area that people were members of, and they joined and worked with, and that is what we are to do. Another family member is rehabilitators. They fulfill their spiritual duty of restoring people to spiritual health. And we can read about that in Galatians chapter 6, the first two verses, which says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We're all to be rehabilitators. And finally, I don't want to leave out the young ones, the Taters Tots. You know, these little ones are all around us. I have a couple here tonight. I don't know exactly how they're going to turn out. None of us really do. But they're probably going to look at other members of the family and decide that they want to be like one of them. So let's help to be good examples and make them want to make the right choices as well. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." So those of us who are fathers, mothers, grandparents, aunts, uncles, even older siblings, even just those of us who are older that are Bible class teachers, are around young children in the community, we should all strive to be good examples to help to lead them to make the right choices as well. After all, we do get to choose what we're like. When it boils down to it, even we as adults get to make our decisions on which personality traits that we want to have and show others around us. Even tonight, all these that we've mentioned, there may be some negative in our lives that we may want to put off, and there may be some positive ones that we've mentioned that we haven't put on yet, but we may need to. So let us think about these things. And the question I'd like for us to ask ourselves individually tonight is, what kinds of choices are we making? And that's pretty much it for me, and I'll turn the service back over to Ray.